as we all know, social networking is a major trend these days among young people and, you know, old people too. And, you know, people are so sucked up in social networking these days that they tend to be absent from the real world. And I kind of question, like, as Christians, is it okay to join social networking sites? And I personally have a Facebook, so I do, you know, wonder, if is this, like, okay? And also, like, do you personally believe that the purpose of you joining it is moral and okay? And, you know, Facebook is the major social networking site these days. And there was an article about how, let me just pull it up on the screen here. But what this guy talked, the article talked about was that,
is it this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What he talked about was four major flaws in Facebook. And the main thing is, voyeurism. What that is basically stalking people on Facebook, as you know. You can stalk people, and that actually has led for people to become more antisocial. What they end up doing is they don't even talk to people, and all they're doing is just saying, oh, I wonder what this person's doing today.
Voyeurism.
That's the first time I heard that word.
Yeah, me too. Like, for me, I think I have a Facebook too, but, like, I don't believe, I guess, in the purpose of social networking. Like, they said a social network is to help us to, you know, communicate or, like, to meet new people, to socialize better, you know, or in a more convenient way, I guess. But what I think is that most of the time, you know, like, or not most, or for some people, like, that purpose is, you know, forgotten, and actually it's becoming more antisocial.
But, you know, I challenge that, because I find that, like, I don't find my social life in websites. But then, as a means of communicating with the people that I know, I do use Facebook to communicate with those people. I frankly don't have their everybody's email address, I don't have their phone number, I don't have their address or whatever. And if I need to get those information, a lot of times I could go to search for my friend's name and just send out an email, and most likely they get it.
Yeah, I agree, because I use that for that, you know, purpose too. But what I'm saying is that, you know, there are many groups of people who doesn't use it that way, for that purpose. If it was that, you know, pure, clean purpose, then it's fine. But, I mean, you know, like voyeurism.
Yes, I see a lot of people spending their time in front of the computer for hours, looking through somebody's album of pictures, you know, trying to comment on all of them, hit likes and whatnot, and check everyone's picture. Oh, I wonder what new picture this person put up this time. You know, stuff like that. And I guess it is somewhat entertaining, and I guess you do get to know that person's character a little bit by looking at their pictures and what they, you know, how they live. But I believe there has to be a limit, because it's obviously taking a lot of time off your hands by you sitting in front of a computer for hours.
Yeah, and you know, like, I remember I had a friend who, she was very a righteous friend, and she doesn't have a Facebook account even today.
Wow.
And she said that one reason why she was afraid of getting a Facebook was because she knew that she would get addicted to it, and that it would become idleness for her, a waste of time. And, you know, even when Facebook first came out, and when I first had it, I was like, even though I wasn't thinking about it, if I opened the internet browser, my hands would just go to Facebook.com. And it was like you had to check it every single day.
Yeah.
And I really think it is a time of idleness.
I don't know about idleness, you know, because, like, I do check, because, you know, they have notifications or they have messages. So, like, I go on because I want to know if I have any messages or notifications, you know. I don't go on because I'm lazy. Yeah.
Okay. I know what you mean. Like, I think I know what Michelle means. besides things like email or messages and things like messages from certain groups or whatever, I do get every once in a while wall posts on my wall from that person didn't post it directly, but they posted it from another application, Facebook app. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that was very popular a long time ago, Mafia Wars, I think. Is that what it was called?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And there was something about another mafia thing. Another something that's popular nowadays is Farmville. And a lot of these things, I get the messages too. They say, you know, your friend has sent you a message about this or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Your friend got a pony.
Yeah.
Your friend got a new land.
And I could imagine, you know, they have these games on Facebook. And I could imagine if you're spending your time in those things, those Facebook apps, I could definitely count that as idleness.
Mm, okay.
And, you know, I have to confess, I was into Farmville. But, you know, I realized that, you know, Farmville really is a kind of waste of time. And so I did quit by grace of God.
It was funny because, like, everybody was doing it, and then these people were just keep sending notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because they keep sending it, that you just kind of check out what it is, you know. And then many people are talking about it, you don't want to be, you know, like, out of the conversation, or you don't want to know what's going on and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, maybe many people join Facebook for the sake of, you know, to be with their friends or something like that. Because
Yeah. Like, definitely Facebook can be used efficiently. Like, you know, through Facebook, I was able to meet, like, all my old elementary friends and everything.
Yeah, that's good.
And
that's
it is a good way for networking. And you can even evangelize to some friends, you know. And I know, like, there's this one group on Facebook where it's, like, a church group.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually do Bible studies online together.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, so it could be used efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that people tend to abuse.
Not use it that way.
Yeah, and they tend to abuse it, and then that's when Christians shouldn't get involved in that
mm-hmm.
kind of sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, you go meet somebody new, and you want to stay in contact with them. It's not uncommon that you say, hey, do you have a Facebook account, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I went to Venezuela to do some meetings in Venezuela, met with this young Christian young man, a very godly man. And he wanted to stay in contact with me. And, you know, we don't speak the language of each other very well. And I speak a little bit broken Spanish. But then, hey, do you have Facebook? I said, yeah, I have Facebook. Here's my email address. Here, you can add me here. And I admit, it's been a while since I've been on Facebook and stayed in contact with him. But then it's true that when you meet with new people, one way that you can stay in contact with them is to Facebook, because realistically,
easiest.
All of the friends that I know of has Facebook. Most
mm-hmm.
likely, all of the young people in the world probably have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I want to comment. Like, yes, you know, like you mentioned about like going through albums, like spending an hour, like looking at what other people are up to and stuff. You know, I think on the other side, spending like an hour or two loading up stuff like to show
yes.
other people what you've been up to.
Mm.
I think that's kind of like, you know, it could be a waste of time. Like, I like to upload my photos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes like it could be like kind of just to show other people like, oh, you know, we've been here, or like,
mm.
oh, we did this, we had fun, you know? And it was like, it was kind of like that.
That reminds me, there's another thing on Facebook. I don't know how new this thing is, but they actually, it's somewhat of a GPS or a simple little notification thing where they post it up saying where they are. So let's say
mm-hmm.
if I want to a bowling alley or something,
mm-hmm.
and they post up through their smartphones, I guess, and they say, I'm at a certain bowling alley, you know,
yeah.
just for so
like,
people can know. But I don't get it. Like, why would you do something like that?
Well,
I know, like, you know, iPhone recently had a controversy over that because they were tracking where they were. I don't know if you guys...
Mm-hmm.
Who were tracking?
Apple was tracking where the iPhone was. So everyone knew. If you had an iPhone, everyone knew where you were.
Oh.
And there was a controversy, but I think they fixed it now. But that is very dangerous because, you know, if someone has possession of that information, mm-hmm. you never know what kind of harm can be right. taken to you.
You know, you said something that reminded me. We're thinking about Facebook, in general, online social websites and things like that. One thing that I don't like about it, and we briefly talked about it, was the fact that we're voyeurism, right? Mm-hmm. We are kind of secluding our life to the computer instead of actually going out and meeting people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you were saying, it's not a social media, it's not social network, it's anti-social networking because mm-hmm. it's actually distancing yourself from reality. But you brought up something about with current technology, now we combine that with current technology of smartphones, which is actually starting to go up. Now what the kind of applications I've seen is that there are some applications, if you want to meet new people, you do it through smartphone. And if that same person has that same application, if you're around a certain area nearby somewhere, it lets you know about the location of the other person who is on that network as well. Now, I see danger in that because a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl can have an iPhone with a certain mm-hmm. application for it meant to be social, and then another 30, 40, 50-year-old man who is perverse in his intentions mm-hmm. can misabuse that and actually kidnap the person who's actually trying to use the application. Mm-hmm. And so the tendency, the current trend, kind of worries me. Mm-hmm. I mean, just social networking itself, even chatting before Facebook came out, before MySpace, before any of these things came out, just online chatting was a very mm-hmm. much of a danger. And now, currently, you know, there are FBI agents who pretend to be 17-year-old girls on the internet trying to find these mm-hmm. these nasty people.
I mean, like, when certain things were created, like in a technology or in a computer, internet, you know, it's created for our own benefit, but there are so many people who yeah. misuse it.
It could be abuse.
Take advantage of it. I find that social network can be kind of dangerous, is that because I heard there's a game, I think, and then it says Second Life. The game name, I think it was a game, you know, the name is Second Life. So it's literally, you can create another of yourself, like, you could be male or female, you could be, like, your occupation could be whatever, banker, you know, teacher, like, evangelist, like, and you could even go to church in that game. So this was really literally another life that you could really have as another person. So I find social networking very, you know, dangerous again because, you know.
And that leads me to our next point, which is, you know, we're talking about social networking. So far we have only talked about Facebook, but, you know, and then we talked about how they are, you know, predators out there, basically. And it's not just predators also, but also, you know, cyberbullying is a major...
Cyberbullying?
Yeah, it's a major issue these days, where kids are bullying people through social networking and chatting. And some kids have committed suicide because of that. But my point is, you know, MySpace. MySpace is kind of...
Do people still
use
it?
Yeah, it's out of the trend. I don't think much people use it anymore.
Well, there are people who don't like Facebook, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like Apple versus Microsoft kind of competition.
Really?
Yeah. If they don't like Apple, they're going to be gung-ho about Microsoft. If they don't like, yeah.
But I thought there was no competition because, like, didn't Facebook, like, go over Google? Like, I don't know how to
I heard that was kind of surprising. Yeah. The number of hits outnumbered...
Yeah.
Google.
So, from
my understanding, it's number one in the world.
That kind of mm-hmm. makes sense because, you know, like, Facebook is international, but Google is... Google is international, but, like, you know, if you go to other countries, they have their own main
like yeah. Korean yeah. for Naver and whatnot. I don't think Koreans really use Google in their own country.
They use it when they want to search, but if they want to use blogs and stuff, they would use Naver or Taom or whatever. But then they do. A lot of people do use Google. Google used to be number one. Mm-hmm. But then to say that Facebook outnumbered Google hits, that means a lot.
Yes, yeah. And the funny thing is, it's a search engine versus a social networking
yeah.
site.
Yeah.
And that's almost unbelievable.
But getting back to MySpace, you know, MySpace, it's
clever name.
It's a clever name, like MySpace. This is MySpace. And actually, it started out in MySpace where people started making a new identity online. And it wouldn't even be like there would be predators, but there would be some people who, you know, they get bullied at school. They're the nerd in the school. Mm. But online, they're like this really rich CEO who's really handsome and everything. And that's how they would try to get reality. In a relationship. Yeah. And that is very deceptive. And mm-hmm. I think that is one way Satan can work through people. Mm-hmm. And I would like to turn to Luke 8:17. This is Luke 8:17. And it says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither..." Mm-hmm. Yes, 8:17. "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." So, you know, you do all these kinds of deceptive things in secret. I'm pretty sure parents don't even know that their kids are doing stuff like this. And, you know, you can't hide it. God knows. And I kind of want to, like, tell people who are being another identity online that it's very unhealthy. And it's mm-hmm. not Christ-like at all, if you are a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Because they could be caught up in that cyber world, and it could really mm-hmm. even be it could even come to a point where they might really think it is the reality. And sometimes they get confused between real reality and cyber reality.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's true that when I repeat something over and over, even if it's not true, but if I were to repeat it over and over, then in my mind, it becomes a reality.
Mm. Well, the thing is, I mean, not but, and also, moreover, when we are in that, you know, second life, it's a life that you want. It's a life mm-hmm. that you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that you have to struggle over. It's not, like, let's say if you're stressing over, like, your weight or your looks, you don't really have to, you know, stress over mm-hmm. that.
But once you come out of it, you see the real yeah. reality. That's gonna hit you harder than before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you go back. You have to go back again.
Yeah, or you just get depressed more and more mm-hmm. as time goes by from coming out of that cyber world, and maybe come to a depression.
Mm-hmm. It can be used kind of like a, you know the reason why people use drugs is to escape the problems they have in reality, mm-hmm. and as long as they keep popping that pill or keep hitting that whatever, they feel kind of a high, and mm-hmm. so as long as they continue to have that drug, they feel happy and they feel like the problems in this world is nothing, but they always are dependent upon that drug to make them feel better. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of the same principle, living a double life. You have to get your satisfaction in that world in order to ignore the problems of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember, that's kind of on a topic of social networking, but there was, you know, the movie Avatar?
Yes.
You heard of it? Yeah.
It's
a really big, it was a very famous movie. It's quite recent too, but there are some people who just love the movie so much that there's something called post-Avatar syndrome, where they think they are Avatar, living in another world. In the real world, there were people like that, and it just shows how influential it could be, like, to make another identity of yourself. It's very dangerous.
You know, speaking of that, I know, like, Facebook the default privacy setting is that unless you are friends, unless you're in the same network, you can't see other people's profiles. But that's not the case in MySpace, is it?
I never had MySpace. Anyone can see, I think.
Right. So I remember the school of my, the dean of my school, before accepting anybody, it's a Christian school, right? So before accepting any new students, a lot of times he would go over to their MySpace account and see what they actually have on their MySpace. Because on paper, you know, on the essay and whatever, you say, I'm a good Christian, blah, 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 and people may have good references and things. But then I could also contest and say that, I can also say that your real self actually can come out. You can portray yourself as a Christian in the outside, and everybody may think that you're a Christian, your pastor may think that you're a Christian, your teacher may think that you're a Christian, and everybody, but then what about your friends? Your friends know who you are, and that's who you are actually portraying yourself to, so your real social media life can actually show you exactly what's taking place in the heart. I know, I was listening to a radio program not too long ago where the people were saying that there was a couple, I think they were Muslim, but there was a couple that named their daughter Likes, L-I-K-E-S, because they said they love Facebook so much, they like this.
Oh,
but,
no.
But, yeah. It reminded me of that because, like, depending on the things that you like, you know, even like advertisements, you can like or dislike on Facebook. And everybody knows if you like this or don't like this. And what you like and what you dislike on the internet will show you who you are on the inside as well. If you are laughing about the things that the world is laughing, if you are commenting the same way that the world is commenting, you know, that shows you what's taking place in the heart. So my dean actually wanted to know, what kind of person is this for real? Is he really playing religion, or is he really a true Christian?
There are actually a lot of people like that. Like some people who I think are like the sweetest people in the world, and then, you know, I go into their Facebook, and, you know, I see them like going to parties, wearing really short dresses, and like, wow, this, they don't even look like how they look in normal life. And actually, you know, as we know, social networking didn't exist in the times of the Bible. But actually, you know, if we look in Genesis 4, where it talks about Cain, it's like same concept where Cain, if you just saw him, he was like a good Christian. He even talked with God. But what happened? He ended up, he had jealousy in his heart and he killed his own brother.
Yeah, so he, like, in a way, he hid his sin, you know. And where was I going with this?
So he had his MySpace profile that revealed that he was jealous.
No, that's not where I was going with. What I was going with, it kind of conscious with your idea. I'm still in the like deceptive, you know, deceiving idea, like what we were talking about before. Like, you know, he could, you know, like outside, he could be he could be like a good Christian, deceiving people. But if like he killed the Abel? Yeah, Abel. If he killed, sorry, just kind of forgot. He killed Abel. If God have not, like, you know, I guess showed or revealed it, then even Adam and Eve would not have known if, like, you know, Cain killed him or not. So it's saying, like, by deceiving to other people that he's a good Christian, that he could have his MySpace. No face where? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of lost.
So, like, time out. you know, for people just joining us, we were talking about social networking and should we get involved in this? And we discussed pros and cons of social networking. Pro being, you know, you can network with other people and even have a Bible study. And con being that there are predators and you can hold another identity to other people, which is really deceptive. And even perhaps maybe show your true self online. And then we discussed about bio characters like that, which is who's Kane. And now what I wonder is how, you know, parents should really watch after their children when they go online. I know, like, even as a teenager, I would be like, oh, I need my privacy, you know, and everything like that. And I didn't like if my mom was reading my Facebook wall comments or anything. But I actually think...
if you have nothing to hide.
If there's nothing to hide, there's no problem. But for some people who are constantly spending their time online, I think parents should definitely look over what they're doing, actually.
Mm. Yeah, but also, not only parents, I think we also have an individual accountability of what we do with our... I believe that there would be many people who will have to answer to God in the judgment because of the time that they have misused. Mm-hmm. What have you done with the gift of time that I've given you? People think that many people think that the reason why God had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was only because of the sexual perversion. But in reality, if you look in the Bible, the reason why they were destroyed, number one, was because of abundance and fullness of bread. Another thing was idleness. Mm-hmm. Now, you look at those characteristics in America. Not only do you have homosexuality, not only do you have fullness and abundance of bread, but then what do we have? Loss of idleness.
Mm.
Yeah. So we will have to face the judgment, every single one of us, and... how are we going to answer to God with the time that we have used? Mm-hmm. What have we used it to the glory of God?
Yeah, and you know, like, speaking of time, our main Christian's object is fruit-bearing. It is winning souls to Christ. Will of God is win your, save your soul first and then save others. And, you know, it even shows that there was a survey, not a survey, sorry, there is an article done. Let me pull it up here. It's an article done where it was saying young people lack good morals and discipline because they're so caught up in video games and on social networking sites. And what this actually proves is that, you know, they're so caught up in that they lose what you are expected as a human in the real world. And they don't interact with people, they never meet real world situations, which is definitely not fruit bearing.
And biggest thing of, you know, being antisocial, not only with your friends, but you become antisocial with your parents and your family members. That actually breaks the family union, that breaks the relationship between you and your mom or your dad, where it comes to a point later in life, because you spent so many time growing up just in front of the computer, your parents truly don't know who you are, and you truly don't know who your parents are.
Mm-hmm.
It even comes down to that.
And I think some people don't even know who they themselves are, truly.
Yeah, I used to have friends, and I won't tell you their names, but then, they met online, or actually no, they used to go to school together, but they never talked to each other at school. But then they actually began to talking to each other by computer and by chatting, and they got to know each other a lot better that way. But then later on, they ended up getting engaged, and they were so sure that this was the right person and everything. But then later on, it turns out that they said, you know, she said, he's not the one. I don't want to marry him. I don't want to marry him. Because you only got to know that person really because through the computer. And reality of it is that a lot of times what we are, it is almost like a double life where we do kind of portray another part of ourselves on a computer, whereas... which is different than talking with a person in real life.
Yeah.
Think about it. Even just the aspect of chatting online. When you have a real conversation with somebody, I ask you a question. How's your life? How are things going today with you? I'm looking at you right now. I want an expression, or I want some kind of answer from you right now, right? You don't have time to think about it. Well, you do have time to think about it, but this is your real you. But then on chatting... I ask, you know, I type away, hey, how's it going? I have time to think about it. What am I going to say? How am I going to say this? How can I say this to make it sound better? You know what
you
I mean?
You could be crying, but you could actually say,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Okay.
You can't say your real words through a computer. And so even let's imagine online dating, right? This is pretty popular, but if it were involved in online dating, I could be asking somebody a question. You know, what would you do if my mother died? You know, right? It would be a serious question, right? I would probably want to know what the reaction would be. The other person on the other line of the computer could actually think about that for a moment and say, let me think. Let me go to the book of 101 things to say to your husband-to-be, whatever, and look it up and then actually give the answer that really is not in the heart. And so the point that I'm getting is that when you are online in social media, you can't really tell who the real person is unless you are actually with them. Make that eye contact with the person, an individual, and talk to the person directly.
And because this world is so corrupted, I feel like it, because we know like these things really do happen, you know, people who lie, people who are dangerous, they really do exist. And because of that, I feel like it gets harder to trust people, really. And you can misunderstand people very easily, even though they might not mean it, but just by the words, you tend to misunderstand.
Yeah, that's what I said, at the beginning, I don't kind of believe in the purpose of social networking, because I like real people. I like having a real relationships and real fellowship. But, like, I mean, the purpose of messaging, convenience of, like, you know, quickly, you know, have to, you know, get the message across or whatever, you know, communicating whoever is, like, far away, you know, that is good. That is all good. But, like, you know, really getting to know the person, really trying to know, like, how they're doing or whatnot. Like, I think face-to-face is really... what we
important.
Need to go with. Yeah,
important.
Yeah. Oh, and just going back to the cane thing, I wrote it down. Stop reading it. Like, I just, okay. So I'm just going to read it. So what I wanted to say was that, can you brief on the cane thing that I just said?
Well, we talked about cane, how, you know, Cain, too, on the outside, he was a very good Christian. Mm-hmm. But when we didn't know that inside, he actually hid his feelings where he was actually very jealous and ended up to killing his own brother, Abel.
So, like, what I was stuttering for was that just one sentence. What I wanted to say was, Cain had his own MySpace by hiding his sin, which is hiding Abel under the ground after killing him. Mm. So, like, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah. And not just Cain. Like, I find that in many Bible, many Bible characters, you know, have that, like, even just, you know, Satan, like, he in heaven, he had his own MySpace in his heart, in, you know, heaven, like, he had, you know, what did he have?
Jealousy,
yeah,
hatred.
Jealousy,
the
hatred,
grudge.
Yeah, the sin started to merge in his heart, and that was his own MySpace, you know?
So. And going back to what you were saying about trust, having trust, I don't know, this might be kind of stretching it, but it seems like because of this, I don't know if it's because of this, but a lot of people, it seems like they're more trusting on texts, or like they're trusting on a person on a screen than in person. Because I see a lot of people being very misunderstood sometimes, or not trusting the other person when the other person says with truly and sincere heart that they are sorry for doing something, you know? Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of doubts about that. And think about people who are on MySpace or Facebook and chatting away with some person you never met before, or you don't even know if that person's real, and having a personal dialogue back and forth. Mm-hmm. And having that kind of trust on a piece of a screen, it's, you know.
Not even trust, like, sometimes what you said about miscommunication, like miscommunicating, misunderstanding, like, that person could have been sarcastic, or that person could have been like, you really don't know the tone of how that person is saying. Like, so Michelle, you told me, like, when you email or when you text, like, you try to put as much smiley faces and then as much, like,
because I don't like being misunderstood. Yeah. I want them to know that I have a good tone when I respond.
And then you say, like, you say, oh, when somebody replies without no smiley faces and stuff, you know, I think she was kind of mad because there was no smiley faces.
No, like, no smiley face, it's okay. Like, I could tell the tone, but I don't know. For some reason, when someone states something with, like, a period and it's very bland, it sounds like they're very serious and very formal. And really, you could play with words as much as you want.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
I think that's one of the limitations of the written word is that you can't express your intonation in the word, in the sentence, whereas you could through telephone or even just regular dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the limitations that we have from chatting in modern day vernacular. And I think that's one of the things that we need to take into consideration. As Christians, looking at, again, the aspect of social media, should we be involved in social media? Quite frankly, in summary, I think there's nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, I know of one ministry who's been trying to reach out to as many people as possible, and they've been accumulating lots of articles and whatnot from the publishing ministry. And they took those articles and posted it up onto a blog. And as a result of other people who were searching for certain keywords, they saw that blog, they read it, they were blessed by it. They came to the website and found more information. And that essentially the website ministry was a big hit as a result of social media, namely blogging. I know blog is pretty popular, more popular nowadays. And so can social media do good? Absolutely, I think so. I use, a lot of people say that I'm guilty of not using it enough, but I use Facebook to keep in touch with old friends. A lot of people that I knew in high school and whatnot, I meet with them again on Facebook. But then I've seen the other extreme where I've seen some friends who are just getting so involved in Facebook. And it may not even be Facebook. It may actually be even the games on Facebook, such as Farmville or some other friends who probably were not Christian, Mafia Wars or whatever it may be.
They have a game, like a typing fast game.
Yeah, I heard of that. So probably that didn't last very long. But then, you know, there are some games that I hear of. They're very addicting. I've never done it before, so I don't know, but then they say it's very addicting and that you get involved and so sucked and so absorbed in it to where, hey, where did all your 2 hours go? You know, you only meant to just check your email, but it ended up that you spent hours on the computer. Yes. And that's one of the dangers. Number one that I see is that what are you going to answer to God for the time that you used? I think we can't have a good answer to God about, you know, the idleness, idle time that we've used. So I think that can be a kind of a bad, bad pitfall that you can run into. Another thing is that a lot of people, they reveal their true selves on Facebook or on MySpace or whatever it may be by the things that they like, things that they watch, things that they post onto their wall or whatever. And some people that I've seen who are not, they're usually very spiritual, and I can see them that they're Christians or whatnot. But then when I see the language that they use, the vulgar and the vulgarity and the, I question, you know. And so their true identity may be really online, but then they portray themselves to be a good person on the outside. That is one thing. But then the scarier part is the converse, where they may have a real life here, but then they're ignoring the real life, and they're really living a fantasy world in the computer, a cyber world. Sims, you're talking about Second Life, and a lot of these things allow you to actually live another life inside of the cyber world where you don't have to face the everyday problems and difficulties. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think it can be a very much of a danger where you escape reality, escape the temptations that come into the life, when it is these trials and temptations, exactly these things that are actually going to make the Christian grow.
Yeah.
The Bible does speak of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, that God only allows certain amounts of temptation to the point that we are able to only handle.
Mm-hmm.
And so by escaping the realities and the troubles of this world, you are missing out on the benefits and blessing of that. So to conclude, should Christians be involved in social media? It's a difficult thing, and it's touchy. It's kind of a touchy issue because a lot of people have Facebook, a lot of people have MySpace. And simply, I would say yes. I would say, you know, there's no harm in it. It's just a matter of, are you going to abuse it? A lot of people like to question should we get rid of guns in the United States? I don't think that's a very mature way of handling the issue. It's not a matter of guns, because I could kill somebody just as well with a pen or a pencil, right? Taking care of the gun problem is not going to take care of the murder problem. Much in the same way, taking away social media is not going to take away the problem of the inward, the rottenness of the heart. So first of all, if I were to, you know, say, is social media okay? As a Christian, is it good? I would say yes, it is fine and it is okay. And as a matter of fact, I would actually tell anybody who I would meet, come visit us on our Facebook page at jnet.tv.
Get it going.
But the converse can also be true. Beware of the traps, especially for young people, because young people can be involved in idleness, and that can be a very common pitfall as well.
Yes.
So as we conclude today, I think one thing that we could gather from our discussion is that, yeah, social media can be a danger, but as long as we subject ourselves under control. Paul speaks of running this race, and a lot of people subject themselves unto the exercise and all the temperance in order to win a corruptible crown. We have an incorruptible crown that we have to win, and as long as we stay temperate with what has been given to us, I think my advice would be it's fine and it's perfectly okay as long as we are staying within those border limits, which are, as a Christian, we should do.
Yes.
So visit us on Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah.